You're listening to Super Action Bros, a podcast to talk about movies with explosions and horse chases.
There's really many of those in this movie.
There's rooftop chases. Rooftop chases.
And people being very, very careful for the most part with expensive vases. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Super Action Bros.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Ian. Welcome to the third episode in our feature of Netflix and Kill Month.
Oh, man, there's lots of killing in this movie.
In which we watch the sequel, the 2016 sequel, to the Oscar Award nominated winning? Win? Did it win?
It was one of the most nominated Oscar movies, and it was the first, like, I don't know if it was the first best picture. It was a foreign film to be nominated for Best Picture.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Sword of Destiny,
which is the sequel
that we watch, which is a far more straightforward, not weird plot. So before we get into that, a couple ways you can reach out to our show if you want to send us an email, and we'll talk about it here on the show. Easiest way to do that is to visit our website, stuffandthingsnetwork.com. Go there, click on the Super Action Bros show artwork, and you can listen to all of our previous episodes. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. You can also reach out to us on social media. We have Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and Letterboxd there. You can also reach out to us individually on social media. You can find me on the internet at iRich. That's at iRitch for me, Ian.
I'm on Twitter also, Ryan Roop, RyanRuppe.
You can also email us. There's a email or contact show button on the very, very front of the page. You can fill that out, select our show, and shoot us an email. So all of that at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So before we get into the show proper, there's something I wanted to mention, but I can't remember what it was. Oh, well, never mind. Now let's go ahead and talk about the movie.
Now,
so, Ryan.
I'm curious.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, the first one.
No, we have to call this, every time we refer to this movie,
sure.
it can't be Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon 2 or Sword of Destiny.
The whole
title.
The first Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon movie is one of my favorite movies. I saw it in theaters. It's one of the first DVDs I ever owned. And I just love the heck out of that movie. It's beautiful, and the fighting is awesome, and the acting is awesome. And subtitles are awesome. And
Ryan's first problem with the movie.
I was a really big fan of the first one. And so when this came out a couple of years ago, I was stoked on it and then promptly forgot that it existed, like you do with a Netflix movie.
That's actually very true.
When we decided to put this one together, I was like, oh man, I never watched that Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny movie. So I decided let's make that happen.
I also really enjoyed the first one. I remember when it came out. It was an interesting movie. If it was like, I was younger. I'm younger than you. So when I watched it, I was probably, when did the first one come out? In the 90s?
Yeah, it came out like 99. It came out
2000. The year 2000.
I remember because
I remember it was a big deal. And I remember I was like, what, 12 or 13. I felt like this was like, ooh, this is a big boy movie.
Oh, yeah.
Not big boy, but it's like, this isn't pandering to me. Like to be like, oh, this is made for the certain age group, or oh, it's Batman. It was like, no, this is like a movie. Like you're going to have to pay.
Serious.
This might have even been the first movie with subtitles that I watched.
Oh wow!
Like this movie might have introduced me to the idea of there are movies that are not in English
that are good,
and yeah. that you're gonna have to read and really pay attention. So, needless to say, because of that, and I'm sure you were too, we were ready for that experience again, right?
Well, this movie really opened me up to, or the original movie, Crouching Tiger, really opened me up to wushu movies, the sort of Chinese martial art movies. And there were some movies, and I feel like there was a short, small trend of those movies like Hero or House of Flying Daggers. Those movies are just some of my favorite movies even now, just to watch because they look awesome, even though the plotting is sort of dense and strange. But those like wushu movies set in like the, you know, hundreds of years ago in China with fanciful sword work and lots of people flying around. Gosh, I love it even though it looks dumb now. But yeah, this movie is in English.
It sure is.
They decided, no, we're not going to make the sequel and we're not going to film it in Mandarin.
Nope.
Part of the reason for that is that there's like four main cast members in the original movie and one of them spoke Mandarin fluently and everybody else didn't at all. And so had to be sort of coached through it. And when people saw it in Chinese who speak Mandarin, they were like, what is this garbage? And so I feel like when the movie was made, at least part of it was in Chinese for effect.
Got it.
And so putting this one in English, was fine. Though it's interesting because this movie is originally in English, but almost meant to be dubbed or something like that. Whenever we watch movies at my house, we usually watch them with subtitles on once the kids have gone to bed, because then I don't have to turn the volume up as much, and granddad over here and me can still hear what's going on, or at least read what's going on. The subtitles and what is said in this movie are completely different.
Really?
Yes. It is like so distracting. I had to turn off the movie during the voiceover, because what is said is totally different than what the subtitles are.
Who at Netflix messed that up?
I have no idea. No, I mean, it's just like a different version of the script or something like that. Maybe it was just they were talking about different stuff than what was on the screen. It's not that it was wrong. It was just like it was like watching a different translation.
Right. Okay. So here, do me a favor real quick. I'm sure we'll watch it. I'm sure we'll watch it at some point in backwards order. Mm. But remind me what happened in the first Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Give me a 5-minute plot, a 5-second plot synopsis.
Sure. Limu Bai had the Sword of Destiny.
Limu Bai, who is played by Chow Yun-Fat, who's not even in this movie.
Because he dies at the end of the last movie.
Okay. I don't remember that. See, it's been a long time since I've seen it.
He has to sort of meet his destiny with the Sword of Destiny.
Did Michelle Yeoh like love him?
Yes.
Okay.
But Michelle Yeoh was promised to another, Donnie Yen, in this movie.
Okay.
And so they never got together, and that was kind of a tragedy between the two of them. Chow Yun-Fat had to fight somebody, and I'm not super remembering who right now, but then also Zhang Ziyi, or Ziyi Zhang, she was sort of a half student and half sort of rival with Michelle Yeoh, who's basically like, I can kick your butt. She's like, well, no, you can't. And then they all went on an adventure together, and then Ziyi Zhang ran away, and she met this boy in the desert, and she fell in love and grew up, and then eventually she also dies, or maybe just jumps off a cliff. It ends in a very ambiguous manner. So the weird thing with plotting of this movie and the other Crouching Tiger movie, I was really curious about it, so I was looking it up. They are part of a book series, and they are books 4 and 5, respectively, of a 5-book series. And that's why it feels like, well, what the heck? Why don't we know the backgrounds of these characters? It feels like we should already know them. It's because Ang Lee decided, like, hey, let's adapt book 4 of 5 of this series written in the 40s. This Chinese action martial arts series written in the 40s.
Okay.
And then this one is like, oh, well, let's just make the sequel that takes place 18 years later, book 5.
All right.
And we'll shoot it 16 years later.
Okay.
And that's part of why it's so disjointed. But the series is by an author named Du Lu Wang. And it is the book that this movie, Crash Dragon, Dragon Sword of Destiny, is based on is called Iron Knight, Silver Vase. The book, the previous movie is based on is actually called Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. But the actual series is called the Crane Iron series.
Okay. All right.
Yep. So, but that's why you're sitting there watching this movie. I feel like there's so much backstory for these characters, and we never have gotten it. It's because it's book 4. You're reading the second part of Return of the King, and then the third part of Return of the King.
Yeah.
And you've never gotten the Hobbit
or Fellowship or Two Towers. Stuff. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Because okay, here's the thing. I feel with this movie, I feel it heavily borrows from other Asian and, for that matter, American cinema very heavily, at least in one portion of this.
Uh-huh.
It has this weird feeling of borrowing from The Force Awakens.
Okay.
I know it's before, but it's almost like the same kind of vibe. Force Awakens was before this.
2015, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it feels like this, like, oh, here's a next generation of people that we're going to deal with, like this other girl and this other guy.
But that's from the book series.
I know that. But it has that feel. They definitely played it up to feel like, oh, this is the old guys and this is the new young people. Sure. But the other part that really is heavily, it's funny you mentioned the 40s, because I'm not sure when it has that very Seven Samurai feel.
Okay.
Where it's like, we're going to get a bunch of warriors with different abilities to all come together to fight.
I think that's more of a trope of like,
it's definitely
of like those, the martial arts style.
Because we have the dagger guy and the dart girl and the punchy man and the drunk one.
But like, in a way, like they're all superheroes. They all got names and specific powers.
I enjoyed that. That's the part of the movie actually I like the best, is when that whole scene, That fight scene is my favorite part, where it's like that we're showing off all our cool little abilities and beating up these clowns, like, and then even the cook lady gets into it. Like, that to me is the best part, my favorite part of the movie. Even though the very end they literally almost bring a building down with swords.
Yeah, but it's pretty good.
We'll talk about the movie. So, who made this movie and who's in it?
Sure. The person who directed this movie is actually very familiar for those of you who have seen Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or for anybody who's seen The Matrix. His name is Wu Ping Yen, but he's also known as Yen Wu Ping. He's the guy who did stunts for The Matrix. He was the stunt coordinator for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Also, he's the guy who's responsible for wire work becoming a big thing in Western cinema in the early 2000s.
Also, Kung Fu Hustle, Kill Bill Volume 2.
Yeah, he did all the stunt work for all that stuff. He also directed the first Jackie Chan Drunken Master movie in 1978. Wow. And before that, in the 70s and 60s, he was a Kung Fu action star. This dude's been around for a long time and knows, you know, mostly what he's doing.
I will say this, the plot obviously is confusing as heck, but the fight sequences in this movie are really good.
Yep.
They look great.
That's what you get when you get a director who has been his career focusing on fight scenes.
Now, just like the rest of the stuff, on the other hand.
Yeah, so the other writer of the book, or the writer of the movie, besides obviously the book series, is a writer named John Fusco, who, when you look at his history of writing movies, is
a lot of horse movies.
He also did Marco Polo Show. He did Hidalgo, ooh, Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron.
He did the hot young 80s cowboy movie too. He wrote that.
Yeah.
Good old Young Buns. I mean, Young Guns.
He also wrote a Babe Ruth movie.
Oh.
Okay, so he's a movie making guy, writes
so,
movies.
So who's in
the
this
cast? The big cast, Donnie Yen, is really ironically the biggest cast name, even though the second biggest cast name, Michelle Yeoh, is the only returning cast member from the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Donnie Yen, the easiest way to remind people of it, I had to remind my wife of it. He's the blind guy in Rogue One.
Yeah, I couldn't place him for a minute, and then...
Are you kidding me? I'm blind! Yeah. He's that guy.
No, he's... I am. No, say his catchphrase,
yeah, okay.
Ryan.
I am one with the Force, and the Force is with me. Yeah.
But he's most well-known for another series of movies.
The Ip Man movies.
Yeah, the IP Man, where he's giving out IP addresses to everybody. Was that Ape Man? That's what I kept saying, because my Roger, my roommate Matt, he's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm watching this movie." He's like, "All right, I'll watch it with you." And he's like, "Oh, that's Ip Man." I'm like, I just kept pretending to mishear. I'm like, "Ape Man? Is he in a movie where he plays an ape man?" It's like, "No, Ip Man." I'm like, "Ape Man. Ip Man.
You're just mean.
Ape Man." He's like, "You know what those movies are?" I was like, "There's a series of movies called Ape Man? Is he a superhero?"
So
I'm well aware of
movie,
the Ip Man movies. They're very good.
Besides Donnie Yen and Michelle Yeoh. Harry Shum Jr.
Glee
is,
boy.
Is Wei Fang. Is he from Glee? Okay.
Matt pointed out, he's like, "That guy's from Glee." He's also been in a couple of the Step Up movies.
Okay, yeah. Singing and dancing. I guess he can sing and dance.
Oh, man. He was also in, there's another movie, The LXD, The Legion of Extraordinary Dancers. He's a dancer.
Oh.
So, well, he's a dancer, I guess, which would translate to some of the movies.
It does translate to some of the... Natasha Liu Bordizzo is Snow Vaz.
Yep.
She's the main young lady in the movie. She has mostly done stuff in Chinese, though she is in the new movie Greatest Showman.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. She's actually that's basically it.
Oh my God. I didn't realize that was him.
Yep. The main bad guy is Jason Scott Lee.
More so, I didn't realize he was one of Griff's gang from Back to the Future 2.
Yeah. Jason Scott Lee's been in a lot of stuff. He's been around for a long time. He's also
Bruce Lee,
in the Lilo and Stitch movies.
Is he? He's not.
He does play Bruce Lee. Okay.
No relation, though?
No, they're no relation. Okay. Ironically, the Ip Man character from Donnie Yen's Ip Man movies was Bruce Lee's teacher.
Ah.
So it's like a weird full circle thing.
Interesting.
Eugenia Wan is the blind enchantress.
Where magic just shows up in this movie, I don't know. Like, here's the thing. I can buy people jumping around and flying through the air, but when you start having shadow magic, I'm like, I just accept it. I just love that's
where you draw the line.
I just accept that it's a world. I just accept that it's a world where people can be so good at martial arts that they can jump and fly into the air.
Yeah.
But when it's like, no, there's actual magic here, I'm like, okay, there wasn't actual magic in the first one, was there? Was there actual magic?
I mean, they had a magical sword.
Yeah, but like even then, what magically does that sword do?
Yeah, okay. I mean,
anyway, continue.
So we have Roger Yuan, who plays Iron Crow.
Read the great names. The character names in this movie are great.
He's Iron Crow. He is in, he's in Bulletproof Monk, and he's in Shanghai Noon, and he's in Skyfall, and he's in X-Men First Class as a stuntman.
Yep.
Juju Chan, Silver Dart Shi.
Oh man, this is the part that got me excited for the movie. I'm like, ooh, they all got cool little superhero nicknames. They got different weapons they use. Oh man, I'm into this.
Looks like she's mostly in Hong Kong cinema. Chris Pang plays Flying Blade.
That's my favorite guy because he's like my D&D character, chucking daggers at people.
He's in Marco Polo. And he's been in a lot of sort of little stuff. He's on I, Frankenstein. He's in that movie.
Oh, okay.
Which, poor guy that he was in that. Let's see. What do we got next? Woon Young Park plays Thunder Fist. Actually, technically, he is also a returning cast member from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. He plays basically the same character, a guy with metal on his arms in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. He also plays a Mongolian marauder in Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen that movie, he's also on the show Chuck.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, not a lot of people are on that show.
A lot of people like that show. I know. Yeah.
No, it's fun. I watched it for a while. I'm sorry. He wasn't in Crouching Tiger. Somebody else was. We're getting there. Daryl Kwan plays Turtle Man.
That's what I called a little time.
He's in Suicide Squad. He's a stuntman on Suicide Squad.
There's a lot of stunts in that. And iRobot. There's a lot of stunts. A
lot of stunt guys. Returning from Bright, Veronica Ngo.
Yes.
Or Veronica Ngo. She plays Mantis, the sort of the evil assassin. She's also Paige Tico in Star Wars.
Yes.
So she's right there at the beginning of Star Wars. So good for her getting stuff. Gary Young plays Tay Jr., who his dad died in the other movie. It's his house where the sword is kept. That's the key for him. But I've seen him in so much stuff. Like, he seemed really familiar with that like kind of lazy eye situation he's got going on. I feel like I've seen that guy in stuff, but I can't place it. I don't know if he like walked onto an episode of CSI. Oh, he's in Power Rangers. Power Rangers RPM. We had a Power Rangers moment in my house a couple of years ago where it's all we watched. Just my son would just say Power Rangers into the microphone remote, and then Netflix would show the like dozen Power Rangers series, and he would just choose one at random, scroll through, and just hit play on a random episode.
It's kind of how
Power Rangers at my house. And I was like, well, who is this group of people? Obviously, Dad, they all drive cars. And I was like, okay,
son,
all right, buddy.
I love when your son makes these general, like, don't you get it, Dad? It's like, no, very clearly you don't get it, son. There's more than this. I remember being a kid where plot points didn't matter. You just watch an episode whenever and you didn't care about the backstories. Don't worry, Ryan. Knowing the fact that he's your son, he'll get there.
Yeah.
He'll get there.
I mean, he's good at coming up with alternate names for things. but yeah, that's basically the cast. There's a few other people, But yeah, it's a cast made mostly of martial arts stunt people and actors who've been in other martial arts movies, because really, like, let's be real, it's a martial arts movie. Like, the focus on this movie is not the acting. Focus on the movie is not the story. The focus on the movie is the cool fight scenes.
See, what makes me upset, though, is it seemed like, at least in the first one, maybe it's just years since I've seen it, that it seemed like it was all of those things and the fight sequences in the first one. And this one, I'll tell you, my disappointment with it is that the acting is subpar. The fight scenes are great, but when you have a movie with great fight scenes, to put it this way, my roommate Matt loves action movies like we do. And I mean, he's more into, I just made a joke with him today. I was like, any movie that involves espionage, like black ops, undercover agents, drug drug enforcement stuff. Like, he's all over that. He's like, those are the best. Like, he likes stuff like that. Like, he watched all of Narcos. He watched all of that.
Okay.
He loves that sort of crime and secrets sort of stuff. But he watches a lot of the action movies we watch with me. He at the end of this was like, this movie was bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? I was like, I didn't think it was that bad. I've seen way worse movies than this. Again, Catwoman.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm like, and I agree with him in the sense that the action in this movie, I told him, I said, yeah, but the fight scenes are good. He goes, yeah, but the rest of the movie stunk. Like, if I could just watch a 30-minute cook-off reel of them doing the fight scenes.
It would be like an hour long.
Yeah, I mean, but that was the best part of the movie is the fight scenes. The fight sequences really, really carry this movie.
Yeah.
Everything else is just kind of eh.
And okay, so part of it.
The MacGuffin's the sword of destiny. Let's move on.
Yeah, moving on. So part of the reason for that is that Ang Lee, when he made Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, the way he pitched it to the studio and pitched it to the actors is, we're going to make Sense and Sensibility with Kung Fu. Like, his whole focus is, we are going to make a heavy drama, a very serious drama, and then occasionally there will be parts where you're flying around swinging a sword. And that's the kind of movies that Ang Lee makes. Ang Lee makes movies like The Ice Storm.
Yeah.
Ang Lee doesn't. I mean, he did eventually make the first Hulk movie.
I was gonna say, I was hoping you wouldn't say anything. He'd be like, hey, so it was like The Ice Storm and Brokeback Mountain and Hulk.
Yeah, but I mean, like with those two exceptions, mostly his movies are movies that are about people and their relationships and talking.
Yeah,
and so the fact that he made Crouching Tiger was sort of a stretch for him, and I mean,
it got him a lot of notoriety though. Especially
it really
America.
Did. It was a really, really big deal, and it really sort of like raised his profile, but really it was on the combination of his ability to direct people having feelings and having emotions and his stunt coordinator, the director of this movie, to help to make fight scenes look awesome. And it was the combination of those two things. And so now we have this movie where we've taken away the guy who was there to bring out good acting and to make sure that the story and the characters were people you care about. But they got the other guy still. And we took all the people who were serious actors out of this movie, with the exception of Michelle Yeoh. And he's like, all right, well, here's what we got. We've got some swords and some wires and harnesses. And let's flip around and fight stuff.
That's fair.
So it's taking the peanut butter out of the chocolate, and it's still chocolate, but man, it's just that Reese's peanut butter cup. If you were expecting that, you're gonna be bummed out because all you got is chocolate this time.
And like I will say this: like the action sequence in this movie, the fight scenes, like they're very memorable fight scenes actually to me, at least. Not all of them, but like the fight scene at that little tavern.
The fight scene at the tavern is so good.
It's great. The fight scene on the ice is really good.
Fight. Oh yeah, fight scene on the ice. Suffers a little bit from, like, hey, we'll just CG it later.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, I'm so does the last fight. But, like, they're memorable. What I'm saying is, like, that's memorable. Even the ghost lady fight is memorable.
Oh, yeah, that's good. It's especially memorable because it calls back to earlier in the movie where she's doing the thing with the stick and the coin swinging around.
Yeah, and also the the fight at the very end between the two guys is pretty good, too, where you, like, chops through a roof all the way down to its foundation. Like
it demolishes a pagoda.
Like I would say this: if you could watch like a 45-minute reel of just the fight sequences in this movie, it's worth it. The fight sequences are really cool to watch, and the story really doesn't matter.
But in that sense, it sort of works perfectly. It works perfectly as a Netflix movie because, like, I'm gonna be honest with you: the way I watch most things on Netflix is with my phone in my hand. While I'm also reading an article or checking Twitter,
Netflix is the highest form of art.
And so for a movie like this, you can sort of space out and half watch and then, oh, shoot, they're fighting. All right, let's watch this part. All right, okay, looks like they're done.
Yeah, and the problem is I was like,
let's see what's updated on Twitter.
Problem is I didn't know how much to expect from this because I remember, ooh, Crouching.
No, I mean, I was
hoping
for great.
See, again, my childhood thing was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Really had to pay attention to that movie. So I better have. I probably
also
have to pay attention to this
that
one.
Movie's in Chinese, so you have to be watching the screen at all moments.
Exactly, and see, I was waiting for this one.
I once was homesick, and I was like, man, I really want to watch a movie, just like a movie that I really enjoy, and just kind of like space out while I watch it. And I put on Crouching Tiger, and then 10 minutes later, I was like, dang it, I can't watch this movie, and like kind of half doze on the couch because I can't just listen to it when it's not fight scenes because I don't understand Chinese.
Fun story, totally random and different, but Emily, your sister, and I were talking about like movies that were like when you were sick, like did something like you watch, and like there's obviously those that make you feel better, but we're like, Is there any, like, she mentioned something about, like, something that, like, traumatized her because she was sick and watched it? I don't remember what it was. Or, no, it was, no, we're talking about The Leprechaun, which is, she's terrified.
She watched that sleepover
as a kid. Yeah, but I was talking about, like, well, I was sick as a kid. My dad, I was home. My dad was taking care of me. I think he thought I passed out, which I was. I had, like, the flu. But he put on Lost Boys. And I have this vivid memory of, like waking up in a fever haze, just seeing, like, Kiefer Sutherland in full 80s tough boy vampire face. Where he's like, and I'm really like going like, okay, it's time for me to go back to sleep. But I had this, and come to think of it, I have never seen all of Lost Boys, but yeah. I probably should watch that at some point. But
this one would work.
But like this, yeah. But like, I'm trying to think if there's any movies that like, I used to watch Ferris Bueller when I was sick. That always made me feel
better. One of my go-tos now is like the maligned Wes Anderson movies. So specifically
like Darjeeling Limited.
But
speaking of Wes Anderson, that new one looks great.
Isle of Dogs.
Oh
yeah.
Man.
Well, Fantastic Mr. Fox is one of them, and the other one's Life Aquatic. Life Aquatic is like one of my top three sick at home watching a movie by myself movies.
That's your favorite Wes Anderson movie.
It is. It just looks so cool.
I disagree. It's a very good movie, but I think World Tannenbaums is the best Wes Anderson movie.
Okay.
Sorry, that was the one that got me on board.
No, you're not wrong. I love Royal Tenenbaums, but
I'll talk some jive. I'll talk some jive all day. I'll talk some jive like you never heard.
I love watching Crouching Tiger also, but I love watching Life Aquatic.
This movie's so memorable that we're literally talking about
other movies. So the fight scenes are great.
And you know what? They waste very little time getting to them. Like within the first 5 minutes of the movie, there's a fight sequence.
Movie that recognizes, hey, look, I know why you're here.
Right. But the problem with that is for me, it fooled me into thinking, oh, we're way further into the movie. And it's like, no, you've been watching this for 20 minutes. I'm like, there's only been like 2.5 fight sequences.
To be fair, the movie's a scant 93 minutes long.
But you feel those 93 minutes, man. Yeah. At least for me, the story points bring it to a screeching halt.
I think it's not that the story is bad, because it's kind of compelling. Like these two kids who were switched at birth and what they have going on between them is kind of interesting and I could care about it, but the way it's sort of presented and neither of them is awesome at acting,
right?
And it's mostly it's monologue with flashback,
right?
And so it could have been handled as just scenes, but instead it's monologue with flashback, and it feels more like an episode of Forensic Files than it does like an actual drama.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't, it doesn't sell it 100%. You're like, oh, okay, all right, that's,
yeah,
okay, fine, that's okay, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get to you as much. And I think one of the other problems with this movie, especially, and I think one of the biggest problems with this movie is that we're comparing it to a visually one of the most gorgeous movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And so this movie, it's really hard for it to live up to that, especially with Netflix money.
Yeah.
Because they're like, the sets are CG.
Yep.
And you can tell. And you can be like, yeah, okay. I get why they didn't just, you know, shoot an entire bamboo forest, because they couldn't afford it.
Right.
But it does look like, you know, if they had spent more money on it, it would look better. I think the best looking set is the outside tavern where they have the different people part of the Iron Way come together and have a fight. But everything in Tay's house, it feels, I don't know how to describe it. It feels like hyper real. Like everything's too perfect. It doesn't look like it's actually made out of wood and paper. It looks like it's made out of computer.
Yeah.
And it took me out of it just enough. Like at no point do you see the horizon and do you think anything other than that's a green screen that they pasted the horizon on.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually look like it's far away. It just looks like it's right there in Photoshop.
That's fair.
So that kind of takes me out of it a little bit, because it doesn't, I don't know, it's a period piece. So everything should look old and handcrafted and not, you know, perfect right angles and shiny surfaces.
I agree.
But that said, that scene with the vases is really cool. it's two people trying to steal the sword without making any noise, trying to steal it from each other and also trying to steal it from the house. At the same time, there's tons of huge, precariously placed vases.
Mm-hmm.
Not like outrageous or out of control, just like you know, a cluttered room, and they keep knocking them over and having to catch them while they're fighting simultaneously,
yeah,
silently.
Yep.
And it's such a cool scene.
Yep.
And then again, the movie's cheapness comes into play, because when they finally break a vase, it sounds like the Hanna-Barbera "We broke a glass" sound effect that I've heard 1,000 times in 1,000 cartoons.
It's funny because totally separate, but speaking of Netflix, and also I was just watching the new season of Jessica Jones, and there's a part where a character destroys a piano.
Uh-huh.
And there's literally a part where it's like the thing you hear when like El Kabong hits someone on the head. Like that's like guitar sound. And it was like really quiet in the background, but I'm like, did somebody sneak in like a Hanna-Barbera?
Like an El Kabong?
Oh, you know what's great? I have to find it.
You could have just broken a real vase.
My dad had a CD of Hanna-Barbera sound effects. Oh,
yeah, I've heard them too.
But it also had like Hanna-Barbera phone messages you could leave. Like, thanks for calling. It's Fred Flintstone. Leave your message. It was like this weird set. My dad would
set your voicemail.
My dad would. I wish I had the CD. If I could find it. If it's on Apple Music, that would blow my mind. But it was just like running sound effect. Like, whoop, 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 whoop. Like the Fred Twinkle Toes sound, like where he'd do a little on his pinky toes. But then in between that, it'd be like, gee, Yogi, should we leave a message? It's just weird, like bizarre CD. I don't know where it is. Obviously, much more memorable than this movie. So totally random. But I don't know. Like I enjoyed the fight sequences in this movie. I'll say this. The fight sequences in this movie are worth that. And if you're watching Netflix like Ryan does, it's worth watching it then. But other than that, skip it.
Yeah, it's fun, but it's not life-changing.
No.
If you really like the first one, honestly, if you're a slavish fan to the first Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon movie, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be like, oh, man, this isn't as good. I wish I would have just rewatched the first one.
Yep.
Yes, that's the right instinct. Stick with that.
Yep.
Go rewatch the first one.
Right.
But if you want, like, one you can sort of half-watch, you can't half-watch the first one and fall, you know, and let your eyes close during the talking sequences because it's in Chinese, unless you understand Chinese. I don't, and so I'm more likely to put this one on in a day of convalescence when I'm laying on my sofa and none of the kids are home, and I want to put a movie on and half watch it while I fall asleep. This will be the one that I put on.
That's fair.
Because it's in English.
Yes.
Just fair. For that simple fact that is not dubbed, but in fact shot in English.
Right.
Yeah. What else? I mean, there's nothing else.
Nope. That's it.
So sequences are fight scenes are fun.
What do you rate it out of 10?
I don't know, man. I feel like I'm going to give it a relatively low score, but I don't think it's a bad movie. I think it's fun.
It's fine. It's perfectly fine.
It's
movie.
A perfectly cromulent wuxia movie.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of other ones on Netflix that are any good.
Nope.
Probably. It's kind of a low ball. I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
6.
Six. Turtlemans out of a possible 10.
All right, I'm gonna probably give
I swear, like I saw on the IMDb his name, he's credited as Turtle Man. I'm like, nah, he says Turtle Man. And like for sure, he says Turtle Man.
I'm gonna give it a 6 as well, but I'm gonna give it 6 cups of hot soup used to foil an enemy.
Yes.
I was like, oh, man.
So good.
Did you also hope in that scene that like she was somebody that was gonna follow along?
I was hoping
story?
That she was gonna join and she's all never come back. I was like, that's good. I like that it's like, oh, you guys are journeying warriors. I own this tavern.
Please leave.
And I can also kick back as much butt as you can.
Please
get out.
Yeah. So blockbuster, lackluster.
It's kind of lackbuster.
It kind of is. I would say if I had to lean one way or the other,
the problem is you have to compare it to their original.
The action sequences for me make it more blockbuster.
Yeah,
but again,
I think so.
You can look at your phone the rest of the time.
Half watch this movie. This is a Netflix movie in the purest
sense of
the term.
Word. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, that is Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny. Anything neat in the what we'll talk about a little bit on Four Color Commentary? You can mention it here because it's kind of a kids action movie, I would argue.
Yeah,
you watched Wrinkle in Time.
I did. I saw it with my daughter and my sister. Mm-hmm. I cried.
We talked about in the other episode.
Yeah.
What your daughter thought. What did your sister think of it?
I think she liked it. I think she liked it a lot. She, like me, was slavishly devoted to
the books.
The Madeline L'Engle, Wrinkle in Time series of books.
I read the first two as a kid.
Oh, man. I read them all
a
couple of
times.
Much, and I'm actually
really
rereading them
it.
Right now. And it's good. It's, I don't know. I talked about it on Four Color, but a very brief summary is, like, it's a movie where the power of love triumphs over all. And that's what I expected, because that's what happens in the story. And it is really a family focused story, like, sticking to the book. That is what happens. The power of love triumphs.
Hey,
and if you're like, hey, that's dumb, don't watch it.
Hey, you know, there's another series that's like that too. It's called Harry Potter.
Yep. No, it's true. But Harry Potter, they have to defeat Voldemort.
Right.
And in this one, the way they defeat him is by the sister telling her little brother, like, hey, I love you. You are important to me.
But they defeat Voldemort because Harry gives his life up.
Yeah, but this doesn't even have...
He loves his friends.
This does have sort of a similar theme of personal self-sacrifice.
Sure.
To defeat an enemy through the power of love. It's less violent, but it's still...
Does Huey Lewis in the News, compelling. The Power of Love?
No, it doesn't. A Sade song called The Flower of the Universe does play, and right. It's quite good. But yeah, I like that. That was pretty, but I think...
We also enjoyed Tomorrowland
because
we
like
the message of, even though that movie is flawed as all heck,
yeah.
We like the message of the future will only be bright and wonderful and happy if we make it that way.
Yeah.
So let's make it that
way. Oh man, if you like Tomorrowland, you're going to dig this movie.
I liked Tomorrowland.
If you like even movies that
are... I knew it was flawed. I could see, I know it's flawed, but I like it anyway. Just like Speed Racer. I know it's flawed, but I like it anyway.
Yeah, if you like movies that have a little bit of teen drama but are ultimately optimistic and positive movies targeted for children and teens, young teens, you're going to just dig this movie. I thought it was good. I also watched, speaking of movies targeted for teens and young adults that have maligned, I watched Journey to the Mysterious Island.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to definitely watch it on this show.
Oh, no.
It is impressively good. It's also terrible because
the one with The Rock.
Yeah.
Okay. It's got The Rock, Brendan Fraser,
and Michael Caine.
Okay.
And Luis Guzman.
Oh no.
And it's got somebody from Hunger Games, the boy from Hunger Games.
Which one? Which
Peeta.
Boy? Oh, that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Not the one whose brother is Thor. The other one. Josh Hutcherson.
I watched all
He's
the
only cast member Ryan, to return from Journey to the Center.
I watched all those Hunger Games movies.
I know. I did too. I read the books.
You watched all the movies?
Actually, I haven't seen the last one because
but you read
I
all
hated
the books.
That book. Yeah.
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 Peeta turns out to not be such a bad dude after all.
I loathe the last book.
What do you loathe about it? We're going to spoil Hunger Games here in a minute.
Oh, really? Do you want me to do this?
Yeah. What do you loathe about it?
The first book is... Hey, wow, we hit this formula and it really worked. And let's do the same thing again in the second book. Cool. And the third book, they're like, huh. Well, we got to kind of shoehorn that whole Hunger Games bit in again in this one. And I guess I need to wrap up this whole weird sort of dictatorship that I never really fully fleshed out. Oops. You know what? There's a lot of gaps in time. Let's just have her be in the hospital in those times.
Fair. I just thought it was dumb that Julianne Moore was also in the movie was also evil.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I'll just kill Julianne Moore now.
Oh, I actually haven't watched the third movie or the fourth movie.
That happens in the book though.
Yeah. No, I know. I don't like the third book at all.
I didn't really care. I found the first one to be like, wow, I can't believe they're letting kids watch this movie about child murder.
Yeah, I haven't let my kids watch it. Actually.
No, I mean, it's definitely good for if you're like 13, 14, 15. I think,
oh, yeah.
I think that's like a solid age where you can understand what's going on. But like, I'm like, yeah, I'd rather watch Battle Royale. It's more fun. People's heads explode.
I probably will not watch Battle Royale with my kids, but eventually I will watch Hunger Games with them.
Have you watched Battle Royale?
I've seen bits and pieces.
Oh, man, it's worth it. We should watch it for the show.
One of these days we're going to
have
a Japanese cinema.
I was thinking we should do another international movie month. All these Asian actors in here made me think, oh, man, we should do another international movie month. Then we could watch Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
So speaking of movies,
yes,
what movie are we watching next?
I'm trying to think if there's any other movie news I want to give you. Oh, I did say I watched... that's common. I'm trying to think of like action movies specifically. I did watch... I think I mentioned it last time. I talked about Kong Skull Island. Yeah. I watched that. Yeah. So, the only other thing I'll mention is a movie I'm excited to. Oh, two things. Number one,
right.
Should ask you formally. We should find out on Friday after WonderCon if you'd like to go see a movie where big robots fight big monsters.
Heck yes, I would.
So maybe after WonderCon, if you're free on Friday night, we can go.
Ask me out on a date.
Well, not just me. Chewie'd like to go. I know Evan Warman, our buddy Evan, would like to go.
I loved the first Pacific Rim, and yes. I can't wait to see the second one. Actually, thinking about it, how have we not watched that movie on this show?
I don't know. We will eventually.
Yeah. Maybe this year. Maybe
speaking
this
of okay,
year.
Speaking of which, because we're talking about one more thing, real quick. Not an action movie, but I thought this was pretty crazy. Not that we're big at Oscar, we don't tend to focus on the Oscar movies, but I think it's pretty crazy if you think about it. Somebody pointed this out that two genre movies won pretty prestigious awards this year at the Oscars. True. We have Get Out, who won for Best Original Screenplay. It's essentially like a thriller,
horror type movie, right?
Horror kind of like almost the best way I can describe it. Twilight Zone. It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah.
It's good. I never thought I'd say this. A monster movie won Best Picture.
Yeah.
A movie about a fish man won Best Picture. A genre movie won Best Picture. It's crazy.
It's impressive.
That's crazy. I haven't seen Shape of Water, though, and I really want to watch it.
But I did see a tweet that said, for those of you wondering how Shape of Water could have been nominated and won for Best Picture, yes, there is a moment where the fish man is transfixed by the power of cinema.
Okay. Oh yeah, Hollywood loves movies that love movies. That's why Birdman won.
Yeah.
Piece
of garbage.
I like Birdman, but I
don't.
I know you don't.
There's an episode about it if you ever want to hear.
You should watch The Founder. Michael Keaton's real good.
Keaton. I love Keaton.
I love just Keaton. Love me some classic Keaton. It's classic Keaton.
All right.
So next time, Ryan, I'll let you introduce. I can't remember the name.
Sure.
Of the movie.
Yeah. We're wrapping up Netflix and Kill month. Netflix and Kill couple of months.
Series. Our Netflix and Kill series.
Yeah. With a Netflix original movie that my sister recommended to us. So get your salt shaker out.
What?
To put grains of salt on that recommendation.
I thought she was like, we're like, she's like a witch and we're shooing her away or like she's the devil.
That wouldn't work.
Like
she's so salty already. No, we're watching a movie called Whatever Happened to Monday.
Okay.
And it is, I think, Noomi Rapace. And it is, I don't know, something to do with clones and maybe there's ninjas.
All right. All right. Well, there we go. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny. And join us next time for the final in our Netflix and Kill series, Whatever Happened to Monday. And remember,
whether it's blockbuster
or lackluster,
we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.